history, humankind has looked to understand the world around us, to define, taxonomize, and scientate. But some secrets have defied the cold scalpel of knowledge. These dark mysteries still reside within the Mind Trench with your guide, Rob Bollock.
G'day, Rob.
Good morning.
All right, what are we talking about on the Mind Trench?
I've got some quite interesting things to talk about here.
Oh, I'm excited to hear it.
Well, they're interesting every week, but this is like double interesting. An Israeli company called Redefined Meat has developed the world's first 3D printing vegan steak machine.
Sorry, what? That sounds
it's nuts,
very sci-fi.
It's the world's first 3D printed vegan steak with the same appearance, texture and taste as meat from an animal.
Does that need to exist?
I can see the desire for it.
They use wheat protein, soya protein, potato protein, coconut oil, beetroot, garlic, onion and oregano.
Okay. That sounds quite nice, actually, when you sort of...
I wouldn't have the beetroot in it because I'm not a beetroot lover.
Oh, no, beetroot. I love it.
No, bootroot, I always used to call it.
I would eat this. Yeah. I don't mind that it's 3D printed.
Well, the company uses 3D meat modelling, food formations and food printing technology to deliver a new technology to deliver a new category of complex matrix meat.
Blimey.
In a cost-effective and scalable way.
So, yeah, my head was going, that sounds expensive.
Actually, it works out cheaper than the cost of production of real meat.
Okay, that probably makes sense. You don't have to deal with whole animals and, you know, feed them and keep them alive
and then eventually kill them, which is pretty horrific, really, when you think about it.
It is.
They're testing it over there at the moment, and then it's going to go into production. I would like to try it.
I'm curious for any vegans out there to text in and let us know, do you find, like, meat substitutes that look like meat and taste like meat weird or all goods? I'm sure it probably depends on why you're a vegan, but I'm always curious about that.
Yeah, I've had these conversations with a couple of people in my time. And it's a hard split down the middle, you know?
I was a vegetarian for quite a while, quite a few years ago, and I stayed away from all the pretend meat stuff.
Because
I thought, if I'm going to eat meat, I'm going to eat it. I'm not going to eat a vegan sausage that tastes nothing like what it's supposed to because they're cack.
You heard it here, folks.
I'm going to have to dispute that there's some very delicious...
Oh, yeah, probably you know. Is now, but back in 1843, it wasn't like that.
1843. I am curious though, if you're a vegan, do you rate meat substitutes that are fake meats, or do you prefer to just not eat meat related things?
You don't. There's so many beautiful tastes without meat, but I think this would be really good. I think it'd be a fantastic idea.
It sounds super sci-fi, and I'm kind of on board with the sci-fi thing.
Does that mean, like, 3D printing and things like that isn't that expensive? I don't really know much about it.
Well, no, they reckon it works out cheaper. Mm.
Probably, yeah. I can imagine it probably would.
Interesting.
Yeah, they can make 20 kg an hour.
Wow.
That's just one printer.
Imagine having, like, imagining it in my head and it feels very, very Star Trek kind of.
I feel like we're seeing... This is the future.
This is where
we're going.
This is what this is all about.
Someone's texted in, there's so much bad shit they pump into meat. Why are you scared of plant-based? I'm not scared of it at all. I'm just super curious about if you would be interested in eating a fake meat or if you'd rather just not eat it at all. Like,
someone's texted in saying, isn't the machine that McDonald's uses to extrude its McNuggets essentially a 3D printer?
Yeah. That's probably a fair call. Yeah. All right, what else have you got for us, Rob?
All right, okay, this is ridiculous. Australian and US physicists say they've calculated the speed of the most complex nuclear reactions and found that it's really, really fast, and it's a zeptosecond, which is a billionth of a trillionth of a second. Don't be so stupid.
That's so
just
cool.
Just like you having a laugh.
Zeptosecond.
A billionth of a trillionth of a second.
I have to know the term really, really fast. Was that in the report?
No,
or was that...
I wrote that. It's like double fast.
Again, really, technical really language, you know, we're using science this morning.
sometimes I make stuff up. I can't say whether that's true or not.
Zeptosecond sounds like a sort of energy drink you might, or something. That's crazy.
I've just been up the gym, so I'm going to have some zeptoseconds.
Do you think they're fibbing?
Well, yeah, because how can I prove that's right? I mean, a billionth of a second is nuts, but a billionth of a trillion.
What? So why would you need to know that?
Because they got nothing better to do with their time, isn't it? It's one of those, sorry. But anyway, I just think it's ridiculous. Right, now, I was going to talk about Nasara Gisara, which
what
is a money thing, but my eyes glazed over. And then I read conspiracy theory, then I got double glazing of the eyes.
Nasara Gisara, that is.
Honestly, I don't like conspiracy theories. I really don't like them anymore.
I just like cold, hard facts.
Exactly.
But then you don't, because you don't like scientists either.
Oh, some of them are right. Some of them do really fantastic things, but others, like, get a job. Right. Really can't believe this is still going on, but a new photo showing the mystery creature swimming in Loch Ness has sparked new interest.
Yes, come on.
Is this recent? So this is recent.
This just happened a couple of weeks ago. There's one big problem, and it's the image has been digitally manipulated. It first appeared in mid-June in a Facebook group by the group's founder, Steve Carrington. Now, you can say whatever you like on Facebook and get away with it. We know about that. That's a different story. He said he visited Loch Ness last September, and as he was taking photos, he spotted a ripple in the water followed by an appearance of an aquatic creature, which he claimed he photographed. He said it might be a catfish. It was a catfish. It was actually a catfish that was caught in Italy in 2018. They have marks on them, pigment patterns on their backs, which are as unique as fingerprints, and some very person that was onto it said, oh, no, hang on a minute, I've seen that. I've seen that somewhere else.
I've seen that catfish before.
Shame on
you. Catfished by a Loch Ness monster picture.
And the thing is, they did all the DNA tests in the water and they found no catfish DNA. They're just
Oh, that's so stink as well, especially if you're like, you know, into trying to work out if, you know, the Loch Ness monster's in the lake or something and telling all your friends, oh, yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
And then just fully making it up. That's so mean to your mates who are all in on that.
The thing is, I first saw it on YouTube last week and it was going, oh, new evidence. And they were still touting it as being real yesterday.
I've just looked up, it's the picture of it kind of looks like the back of a whale.
Yeah, that's a catfish.
So I feel like there's, do you think there's something that lives in the lake, but it's just a normal animal that already exists?
Yeah, well, eels,
kind of looks like a giant trout from that angle.
I saw a thing, they reckon there's some shark. Shark somewhere that comes in and has its young there. It's not a monster. It's just
A normal animal that lives in the lake like many
it's
other
a monster, yeah, no.
others do.
Yeah, exactly. that catfish was actually, it weighed 130 kg, that catfish. That one that's in that photograph
is
huge. And it was 268 centimetres long. It's massive.
So you kind of don't even need to believe in the Loch Ness Monster for there to be weird enough stuff in the ocean, to be honest.
Wells catfish are huge.
Wow, that's awesome.
So please stop doing it because it doesn't exist. You make yourself look a complete plonker.
This is Rob's PSA. Let it go.
Just let it go. Right, now, I've got a poem. It's a very short little poem.
All
and
right.
It's called Late, and I had to finish it here, which is quite ironic. So we'll have to see how it goes. It's called Late. If there's one thing I really hate, that's missing my alarm and being late. You just never seem to catch up with your day. Things sometimes go from bad to worse. It's like you've had a pirate's curse. So if, like me, and that fills you with dread, next time it happens, just stay in bed and listen to B, obviously.
Hey, nice.
I do love that it's called Late, and it's about being late, and you hadn't finished it on time.
Yeah, I purposely did that.
Yeah,
no,
I didn't
actually. I couldn't.
But maybe you did, you know.
No, I hit the wall the other day.
That happens. Writer's block.
Yeah.
Tips for pushing through writer's block, 5395.
Yes, please.
The Mind Trench with Rob Bullocks, only on 95 BFM.
Rob, would you like people to send through some suggestions?